Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you today, enable us to live out your word that's been given to us, to understand the basic principles, then to put them into practice. Lord, help us to have open ears and open hearts for what you have to say. May my words be true to yours. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's Mother's Day, and I don't know who came up with that. You may know. I didn't look that up. I got a letter or an email about a month ago from Lamplighter. Now, Lamplighter does nice work with taking old stories and putting them back into print and then making audio theater about those stories. And so if you like to either listen to stories or read old stories that have a good message, that's a good company to work with. But they had this special going on for Mother's Day. And it's a book called Jessica's First Prayer. I don't know if you've read it or not. It was written in 1866. There are copies in the back, and there should be enough for all of the families if you would like one. But after I read the book, I said, why did they suggest this for Mother's Day? In the book, the mother in the book has a little problem with alcohol. She abandons her child because she's not making enough money. And they suggested this book for Mother's Day. I said, that is strange. But then I started thinking, well, maybe there's some other reason behind it. Now, Jessica, the little girl in the book, and talks about her first prayer, but she comes to an understanding of the gospel. She comes to an understanding of what the writer of Hebrews calls the basic principles of the oracles of God. She comes to an understanding that allows her to impact the people around her. Jessica, if she keeps living the way that she does by the end of this book, will be a good mother, even though her own history of seeing a mother wasn't a very good one. God can take us from wherever we are, from whatever circumstances have surrounded us, and can give us a life that's honoring to Him, if we truly understand the basic principles of the oracles of God, if we truly understand what Jesus has done for us. I'd encourage you to read the story. It's a nice story, has a good message, but it looks at the basic principles of the oracles of God. It looks at how we are saved, how we are taken from whatever circumstances are around us, and brought into the presence of our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know the good news of what Jesus did for us. And then we need to live our lives honoring Him. If you are a mother out there and you're doing that, it is a blessing. It's a blessing to everyone around you. It's difficult when children grow up without a mother. My kids went through a lot of their growing up years without a mother, and it has its impact. Mothers, do your work heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Mothers, remember the basic oracles of God and live them out for your children. You will have an impact on the lives of those children. Now, the Hebrews, people to whom the writer is writing, had forgotten some of those basic or principles of the oracles of God. They'd become dull of hearing, which is what we'll talk about first. Then we'll look at the basic principles that the writer is calling them back to. And then we'll look at the solid food that he wants to give to them. As we look at these people, verse 11, he says, therefore let us leave... Verse 11, I went to chapter 6. Verse 11 of chapter 5. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. About what? Well, it's about the things that he's just spoken of. It's about how Jesus Christ is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. It's about how this is better than what the Levites had been passing on down through the line of Aaron and things. It's better because Jesus came in a little bit different way. First of all, that he was sinless. And he gave a sacrifice that was far better than any other high priest could give. He will be writing about those things. He will go back to these things. He takes this little break now and he looks at these people and he says, you're hard of hearing, you're dull of hearing, you're slow of hearing. But he does have some confidence that they will open their ears after they've gotten this message of what they need to do in order to turn to Jesus Christ, turn to the things that they know, turn to the truth of the gospel. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. This word for dull has the idea of being slow. It's used also for lazy. Now, we were working yesterday Mr. Ladwig mentioned how he was a little slow sometimes on the uptake. How he had been listening to a sermon by R.C. Sproul and had learned something from it. Which, David, shows me that you aren't slow. You aren't doing what they did here. He learned something. He was involved in learning about the things of God, and he learned something from that. The problem with the people here is that they're lazy. They've closed off their ears. They're not doing the things that they need to do in order to grow in Christ. They've turned themselves off to that. David is an example of one who hasn't turned himself off, so he's not slow and he's not lazy. He's doing the things that he should be doing. But these people were slow. They were lazy. They weren't putting into practice the things they knew that were right, so that they could learn and grow. How were they being slow? Well, quite possibly, as we look at what the writer focuses on, quite possibly they just weren't looking at God's Word. They weren't looking at what they had right in front of them. They may have been involved in things that seemed, on the outside, to be more exciting. Oh, things about angels. Aren't angels wonderful? You know, we like to talk about angels. Isn't that great? Well, the writer starts out saying, Jesus is far above the angels. The angels pronounce his coming. The angels display the glory of our Lord. We need to focus on our Lord, not in these extra things like the angels. We understand them, but they aren't the focus. We need to look at our Lord. Maybe they were going back and saying, oh, but we've got to follow Moses. Look at what Moses has done. What a great person he was. How he led the people out of Egypt and how he brought them to the point of entering the promised land. Where he says, look at Jesus. And what he has done, it's far more than Moses could ever have done. What were these people focusing on? It was one thing or another. It was something that was not a part of the basic principles of the oracles of God. They weren't relying on what God had given to them. How had they become dull of hearing? Quite possibly they were dealing with things that were tangential. Things that seemed to put them into higher position. So maybe they had a little more knowledge than someone else about something. But they weren't looking at what was truly important. They'd become dull of hearing. Although they should have been teachers, they ought to have been teachers, they needed to be taught the basic principles of the oracles of God. Let's look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. Do you know your ABCs? A, B, C, D. Now, most of you kids can say that, right? Fiona, you can say that, right? A, B, C. Okay. These are the ABCs of the oracles of God. The basic principles. That's what the idea behind this word. It's the basic things that are there. And although these people ought to be teachers, they needed to relearn the basic principles. Ashley, can you come over? We need to understand the basics. A, what did Jesus do for his people? He died on the cross for our sins. The atonement is there that we need to look to and we need to believe. So A is the atonement. B is believe. We need to believe what Jesus Christ has done for us. He died on the cross. And then we need to live for Him. We need to have a life that's consistent with the confession that we hold. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Your life needs to be consistent with that profession, with that confession. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These people went away from the basic oracles. They needed to be taught again the basic principles of the oracles of God. Do you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God? Hopefully you understand those basic principles. You understand the grace of God given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you need someone to teach you again? If so, listen to what's just been said. Open your ears to that so that you can hear those things. But if you know those things, guess what? You ought to be teachers. You're not here just to sit in a pew and listen. No matter who's up here talking to you, you're not there just to sit and listen. When you've listened, you're to go out into the world and be a teacher of those basic principles of the oracles of God. You're to be talking to other people about those basic principles of the oracles of God. You're out there sharing the gospel with others. You're teaching others. The writer doesn't leave anyone out. As he comes to these people, he says, you ought to be teachers. You've had long enough. Now, if you just started sitting in a pew, if you're just here for the first time or the second time, or if you've only been here even for a year or two, that's fine. Maybe you're still absorbing and maybe you're not ready yet to go out. But I think most of you have been here a lot longer than that. You ought to be teachers. And you ought to be out there looking for the places that God is calling you to teach. It could be in a small group. It could be just as an individual that comes into your path. It could be something more elaborate. But the fact is, you ought to be teachers somewhere, somehow. That's where you need to be. Are you just listening when you come to church and then you go out and live your life and don't think about it until the next week when you sit in the pew? That's not what the writer has in mind. You ought to be teachers. Do you understand those basic principles? If so, go out and teach them to others. If not, maybe you're like the Hebrews. Maybe you need milk instead of solid food. He goes on, verse 12, the second part of verse 12. I'll read from the beginning of 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature. For those who have lived their powers, who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. He talks to these people as their infants. An infant doesn't do things on their own. An infant doesn't go out and help someone else to eat. The infant needs to be fed. You need milk and not solid food, he says to this people. They're not doing the things that will cause them to grow, and they need to do that. Now, Peter uses this differently. Don't get the idea that Peter, when he says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. There Peter looks at the milk as being a positive, as the idea of the infant just wanting that milk. You should want the Word of God. You should want to grow. But here, the writer of Hebrews is looking at the other aspect of it. He's saying, you need to constantly be fed, but you're not growing. You're not taking in that milk and getting to the point where you can take in the solid food and you can go out and you can teach others how to live your life for Jesus Christ. Here the writer is telling God's people that they need to grow to mature, to become teachers. Now, what is the solid food that he's talking about? You need milk and not solid food. Well, some people would look at this and say, well, they need something, you know, some knowledge that other people don't have. Some wisdom that you know, just makes them shine where others don't. And I would say, no, it's not something that someone else doesn't have. That's been the start of every heresy from the Gnostics or the Judaizers, whichever one came first, and the early church had both of those in it. I'm not sure which one was first, but the fact is there are people that came in and said, oh, you need this, and you need this, and we have this knowledge that you don't have. And aren't we wonderful, taking the glory on themselves instead of looking to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not some special knowledge. The solid food is the good news, the gospel. What Jesus has done for you in dying on the cross for your sins, it's that good news lived out in your life so that you can show the discernment necessary to make the right choices. Those who truly understand the gospel are continually growing in that discernment and are able to help others along the way. They're able to be teachers because Christ is in them. Because Christ is working in them, His Spirit fills them, and they're making the choices that they need to make to live a life that's honoring to Him. The writer started out this section saying that these things are hard to explain. Why? Because they're so difficult to understand? No! Because their ears weren't open to what the Spirit had to say. They were on other things. They were looking at other things that weren't what God wanted. They were getting caught up, whether it was in angels or in Moses or washings or whatever. They weren't building on the foundation that God had given them, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But He has hope for them because He will go on to those hard things. He will go on to look at Christ in the order of Melchizedek. He'll go on to look at the once-for-all sacrifice that Christ has given for His people. He'll go on to look at how we have others going before us that were faithful to God. By faith, Abraham. By faith. He'll go on to look at how we live our lives before our God in hope, no matter what the circumstances. Looking at everything that surrounds us is how God is teaching us, how God is training us, so that we can become more like Him. He'll go on to look at these many things that right now He looks at these people and He says, these are hard to explain because your ears are not open to it. You'll become dull of hearing. They're not being guided by the Spirit. Paul says the same thing about the Corinthians over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll read verses 1 through 16 there. First Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Talk about basic principles of the oracles of God. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The writer of Hebrews is turning people's attention back to looking at what Jesus Christ has done, to trusting in his Spirit and the wisdom that comes from seeking to live out a life in obedience to him. The writer of Hebrews is calling the people back from whatever tangents they were out on, whatever arguments they were having, from whatever things were calling their attention away from the truth of Scripture, from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews is calling them to open their ears and their hearts to what the Spirit has to say so they can understand how they are to live their lives out for him. He tells them, you ought to be teachers. And every one of you ought to be a teacher. Find someone to teach. Find someone to share the gospel with. Find someone that needs to understand the wonder that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross that we might be saved. Find someone that needs to make a choice in their lives, whether to follow after Christ or to follow the ways of the world. Find someone who is struggling with the choices of life and can't understand the difference between good and evil, and show them the good. Find someone who you can teach to follow after God. To do that, you must truly know the basic principles of the oracles of God. You must know that Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for the sins of his people. You must know that we come to have that applied to us by faith. We need to believe in our Lord and what he has done for us. You must live that out in your life then, looking at everything through the lens of Christ, the way that he sees things, so that you can grow in your ability to make choices, to discern between good and evil. As you grow, as you do that, you will mature in him, and you will be a better teacher. But remember, you ought to be teachers here and now. Don't just come and fill a pew each week. Take what you hear and share it. Take what you read and share it. Don't be lazy. Follow after our brother David. Listen to things. Listen to people that you can trust that are explaining the Word of God. And learn. and grow. But remember, there's nothing that goes beyond what Jesus has done for us. Don't get caught up in a tangent. Understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand truly what He has done for you. And then go out and teach others. Let's pray. Lord, help us to take Your message into our hearts. The wonder of what You have done in giving Yourself for us. The wonder that we can stand before You because of what Jesus has done. And Lord, help us to grow in our discernment, to grow in our understanding of You and Your ways, so that we can discern good from evil. Enable us to make the right choices. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn out to Psalm 119, selection M. As we look at the Word of God, the world doesn't think too much of it, but it does make us wiser than our foes. Help us to understand what God wants of us. It helps us to discern good from evil. Psalm 119, selection M, please stand to sing. Now worship God with our tithes and offerings. The next psalm that we sing will be Psalm 51, selection B. As David writes the first part of the psalm, he looks at his sin. He sees the sin that he has, but he looks to how that can be taken care of. And it's only through the sacrifice that God will give. That sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross that wipes out our sin as we stand before God. and makes us whiter than snow. But as he looks at that, he says, "Oh, hide your face from my sin and wipe my guilt from view. A clean heart make for me, O God, my spirit's strength renew." The fact is that if we're truly trusting in Jesus Christ, he gives us that heart that has a desire to serve him. Is that where your heart is? Do you have a clean heart? A heart that's given over to the Lord your God so that you can serve him all the days of your life. And so you can teach others to follow him as well. We will be standing for prayer. Then we'll sing Psalm 51b. Then the pastoral blessing and the doxology 72g. Let's stand for prayer. O Lord, as we come before you, we know our weaknesses. We know that we don't always follow in the way that we should. Lord, we trust in you. We look to your righteousness, to your sacrifice that was given for us, that we might be cleansed, that we might have our hearts renewed, so that we can live our lives out for you. Lord, we see our frailties. And some may be suffering from physical infirmities, some from mental difficulties, sins that keep coming back and keep tempting and bothering. Lord, help us to put away all of those things. To see how you are at work in our lives. See how you can change us. To conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. To make us more like you. Be with us as we struggle. Be with those who are in special need of your care today. Lord, whatever is taking place, help it to draw them to you. Be with our land and leaders. Enable them to follow after your ways, to be guided by your truth. Be with us and help us to be teachers of what you have given. Help us to show others through our lives, through the words of our mouths, through the things that we do, what you have given to us. Lord, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for giving us a life to live for you. Help us to be honoring to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.